Chapter 5. Verses 22 through 24. Hear again the word of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let us pray. Almighty God, your word is truth. Your word is light and life to them who keep it. Grant to us, Lord, the understanding of your word. Grant to us, Lord, your Holy Spirit, that we may behold wonderful things. Help us, O Father, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at the wives' particular calling. We saw in chapter 5, verse 22, that wife is a particular calling. Christians have both a general calling, that is to follow Christ, to be a Christian, and we also have particular callings. The particular calling for wives is set out in verse 22, underneath the general calling to be filled with the Spirit. So the wife is an office, much like pastor or elder or deacon or king or something of that nature. And the wife is a particular, divine, and religious calling. We have noted that it was an honorable calling, that the office of wife is very much praised by the Lord, and it is therefore a very significant calling. Every calling, every general and particular calling, has attached to it certain duties. For instance, the general calling to be a Christian comes with the duties to follow Jesus Christ, to worship and honor and obey him. This is the case with particular callings as well. The calling of wife comes with certain duties attached to it. These verses, verses 22 through 24, teach us a wife's particular duties. We will look at this in three parts. There is a command in verse 22, a reason given in verse 23, and finally an application given in verse 24. First, the command. Wives must submit themselves to their husbands. Notice the recipients of this command. Wives. This command is not addressed to husbands. This command is addressed to wives. Some time ago, I taught a Sunday school class on from a book written by Westminster Divine William Gouge on building a godly home. And it was a book about marriage and husbands and wives and children and family. And it was a really enjoyable study. At any rate, I had spent three classes teaching it. I taught one class on marriage in general, the notion that God brings together two people as one flesh. And then I taught one class on wives, their particular calling and their particular duties. And then I taught two classes on husbands, their particular callings and their particular duties, which, as you know, coming up will be to love their wives as Christ loved the church. After the second lesson on husbands, a woman who is in my Sunday school class, a woman who is very dear to me, said, "This is very good. I am loving all of it. But when are we going to start talking about what husbands ought to do?" In her perception, we had not yet gotten to what husbands were to do. There is a temptation when we read about the duties of wives, for instance, to say, "Yes, but what about? What about?" And if in the course of this sermon you start finding yourself thinking that, I want you to know the sermon is for you. The recipients of the command are wives. Wives are commanded to submit themselves to their husbands. Husbands are not likewise commanded to submit themselves to their wives. So the particular duties which God gives to wives are all summarized under this command, submit yourselves. The imperative, the command here that is translated as submit yourselves, is actually a compound word. It, The two parts of it make it literally mean place under, to be placed under. It's oftentimes translated as subject or be submitted to. It refers to yielding to the authority of another. It's not a popular concept in our culture, but it is really not a bad word, to submit. Christians are told many times to submit to God. In James chapter 4, verse 7, we are told, submit yourselves to God. Jesus, of course, submitted to Joseph and Mary. We read about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus, think of this, the mediator, the God-man, submitted himself to his parents. That's instructive to us. Jesus, being of greater honor and dignity, being of greater authority, being of greater everything than anyone, submitted himself to his parents because it was fitting. Now, there are two kinds of submission entailed in this. Submitting ourselves. We will call the first of them involuntary. By involuntary submission, that refers to our rank relative to someone who is placed above us. All right, so we involuntary or necessarily submit to someone who is above us. It's a description of what is, regardless of what we do. If I am a private in the army, a general is of greater rank than me, whether I like it or not. That's involuntary submission. Because God has placed man as man above woman as woman, which is clear to us from the creation account, a wife is of lower rank than her husband, even if she does not acknowledge it. That is an involuntary submission. She is of lower rank than her husband, whether she thinks she is or not. In God's opinion, her rank is subordinate to the rank of husband. However, there is also voluntary submission. And that is that submission where we, of our own volition, acknowledge the rank above us and willfully yield to that authority. We yield to that authority because we see it as coming from God. We see ourselves as ranking below someone and submitting then ourselves to them. The imperative that I'm discussing here, submit yourselves, is in the middle voice. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about grammar, but the middle voice just means that the subject performs the action on his or herself. All right, so that is why I chose the King James translation of this passage this evening, because it reflects accurately by adding that reciprocal pronoun. Wives, submit yourselves. See, it's not in the passive voice. In other words, be submitted. It's not in the active voice, submit your husbands. It is in the middle voice. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. It is to be a voluntary and willful submission. Wives must acknowledge that God has placed husbands above them in rank and placed them as authority over them, and they must willingly yield themselves to that authority. Now, the objects of this submission, the ones to whom a wife is submitted, is told to us here in verse 22, unto your own husbands. This teaches us, among other things, the limitations of a wife submitting herself. First of all, we must know that a wife's duty to submit here pertains to a particular relationship. Mankind consists of two sexes, man and woman, and there is a general sense in which womankind is of a lower rank than mankind. We see this again from creation. However, it is not the case that every wife has to submit to every husband. This is the difference between a general and particular relationship. Do you see the apostle says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands? The wife's submission that is called for in this passage is a submission to her own husband. We can illustrate this, and we understand this intuitively, but let me illustrate this. Children, generally speaking, are of a lower rank than adults. They are, by reason of age and place, of a lower rank than adults. Those children may indeed give a certain deference and respect to all adults, but we do not require every child to obey every adult. Do you see the difference? This is the difference between general and particular. So the wife then is limited to submitting in this way only to her own husband. But this also tells us that a wife need not, in addition to not needing to submit herself to every man indiscriminately, it's actually the case that a wife must not submit herself to every man indiscriminately. The Word of God says, submit yourself to your own husband. There is a submission that wives owe to their own husbands that they may not give to any other man. So the wife is to submit unto her own husband, not all men, and she is to give this submission, this placing, this voluntary placing of herself underneath of him unto her own husband. Now we see in verse 22 at the end of it, the first of three comparisons in these verses. And the apostle says, as to the Lord. This indicates the manner and the motivation or an additional motive for the wife's submission. By the manner, I mean, in what way is she to submit herself? And the apostle says, in the same way, right, that you would submit to the Lord. Not in every way identical, but in the same manner that you would submit to the Lord. Let me explain this. When I am not home, I tell my children that they must obey their mother as if she were me, because she is standing in place and she is giving instructions that come from me. So too, if I leave my older daughter in charge of my younger daughter, I tell her that you must obey your sister as if it were me. Now, neither my wife nor my older daughter are in fact me, and they don't actually have all the authority that I have. But because I give instructions for someone to obey them in that sense, they are submitting to that person in that manner. So too with wives. In submitting to their husbands as to the Lord, they are submitting in the same manner as the Lord requires. But it also gives a motivation, and that is this. When you submit yourself to your husband as a part of obedience to the Lord, it is actually unto the Lord that you are rendering obedience. In a certain sense, your particular husband is just a means to an end. You submit to your husband in order that you may walk before God in a way that's pleasing to him. It is the Lord himself who has called you wives to submit to your own husbands. And it is in obedience to the Lord that a wife renders that submission. So much so that a wife in proper submission to the Lord is, in that sense, properly submitting herself to God. A wife that is in proper submission to her husband, rather, is, in that respect, properly submitting herself to the Lord. On the other hand, a wife who refuses to submit to her own husband is in rebellion against the Lord. I have known many Christian women who are very involved in the church. They will come to morning worship and evening worship. They will come to the midweek Bible studies. They will come to fellowship dinners. They will do all kinds of things which are all good and lovely. But some of those same women cannot be bothered to respect their husbands. I hope you can see the problem. Because it is the same Lord who commands you to come to worship. It is the same Lord who you are serving when you go to Bible study and you are studying about that tells you, you must submit yourself to your own husband. Remember, we cannot be bad in our particular callings and think that we are good in our general calling. A bad wife is not being a good Christian. So a wife must submit unto her own husband as to the Lord. Now the apostle gives us a reason. Why then is this the case? The reason given to us in verse 23, for The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The word translated for could also be translated as because. It indicates a reason, a ground for the previous command. God gave a command, and why must that command be followed? She is to submit to her husband because he is her head. The head, of course, is a metaphor. The metaphor comes from the metaphor of a body, right? Of a person with a head and a body. The head being elevated above the rest of the body has preeminence, superiority, over top the rest of the body. The head is set above the body. In fact, if you ever see a person in which their head is below their body, something is wrong. So the head, the wife's head is above her in the same sense that the head of a body is above the body. This head, being the source of wisdom and understanding in a human being, is the appropriate part of the body to govern and direct the body. One of the things that I lament as I get older is that my mind can say something and my body can't do it. We know that a body which does not obey its head, it is because something is defective. A body which does not obey the head is very frustrating. You see, marriage is the union of two people in a single entity, right? The two shall become one. God brings two together to be one. And in that relationship, the husband, says God, is the head, and the wife is the body. The head leads the body. Marriage is not a creature with two heads. If you've ever seen a creature with two heads, you know it is unnatural. It is a monstrosity. No creature of God naturally has two heads. Neither does a marriage. Now, in the middle of verse 23, we find another comparison. The husband is the head of the wife, and then it says, even as Christ is the head of the church. So that's the comparison. The husband is the head, even as Christ is the head of the church. You see, the husband stands in relation to the wife in the same way that Christ stands in relation to the church. We read about Christ being the head of the church in Ephesians in chapter 1 and in chapter 4. I'm going to read from Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It says, God put all things under his feet. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So earlier on, the apostle had taught us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. God gave Christ to us to be our head. And he put everything under his feet. And now the apostle is comparing that. By the way, this is one of three such analogies, if you will, in chapters 5 and 6. There's wives and husbands, which of course represents the church and Christ. And then there are children and parents, which represents the people of God and God their Father. And then there are slaves and masters, which of course represents Christians and God our Master. So in this instance, the comparison is between the church and Christ and the husband and his wife. So this passage is saying that just as God gave Christ to be head over the church, so also God has given the husband to be head over the wife. The comparison continues, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, the pronoun he undoubtedly refers back to Christ. However, the subject of the comparison has not changed. The apostle is still talking about husbands and wives. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But how can a husband be a Savior? I think it helps us if we look forward just a little bit. I was initially resolved not to get into verses 25 and following tonight, but this helps us to understand what the apostle is saying here. Look with me, if you can, chapter 5, verse 25 and following. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So now we see the point of comparison. The wife is the body. The husband is the head. Christ is the head. Christ is the Savior of the body. How is he the Savior of the body? By loving her and giving himself up for her. So in the comparison then, the husband is likened to Christ's work of salvation. How so? By loving his wife and giving himself for her. So you see, the comparison actually provides wives with two motives for submitting to their husbands. And the first is his authority. He is her head. God has placed the man above her, and the rank of husband is superior to the rank of wife. But secondly, her benefit. You see, much as Christ protects and provides for his church, so too God has given husbands to protect and provide for their wives. You see, she who submits to her own husband benefits herself. She who rebels against her husband harms herself. Now, you may suppose that you do not need such a head or savior over you. And by the way, keep in mind this, that when we speak of the husband being the head and savior of his wife, we are speaking in an analogical sense. Similarly, I call myself my children's father. But you know that they have a greater father in heaven, and I am only a likeness to that father. I cannot do for them all the things that their father in heaven can. So too with husbands. Your husband on earth cannot rule over you perfectly as your husband in heaven does, nor can your husband on earth offer himself in satisfaction for your sins. There is a difference, but the analogy holds. Your husband is there to be over you, to rule over you, and to provide for you and to protect you. So this comparison then gives a wife two motives for submitting to her husbands. I said the authority and her own benefit. Much as Christ provides and protects his church, so too husbands are to do this. They are to love their wives, and the wife then is to benefit from that. Now, maybe someone will say, I do not need such a head. Or you may say, you don't know my husband. You may say to me, I am wiser than my husband. I am more suitable to rule. Wives, raise your hand. No, I'm kidding. Don't raise your hands if you think. Put your hand down, Mrs. Appleton. And you know what? It actually may be the case that you are wiser than your husband. It's possible. But I can tell you this, sisters. You are not wiser than God. And God tells you, submit to your own husband because he is your head. Moving down to verse 24 now, we see the apostle take this command and its reason and make a specific application to the wives. Verse 24 begins with the conjunction, therefore, and it could also be translated as but. And the sense of it is this: everyone in the church submits to Christ, both husbands and wives. All of us submit to Jesus Christ. But as the church whole submits to Christ, you wives submit to your husbands. You see, this is the third comparison in these verses. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. The apostle is saying that which the church does to Christ, the wife is to do towards her own husband. She is to submit to him in the same way that the church submits to her head, Jesus Christ. So here are four ways. There are many ways, but here are four particular and very important ways in which the church submits to Jesus Christ. First of all, we acknowledge him and his authority. We acknowledge him and his authority. We recognize that he is our God, he is our Savior, he is our Lord, etc. So two wives ought to acknowledge their husbands and their authority. The church respects Jesus Christ. We have inward reverence for him and outward respect for him. We ought to have both. Sometimes we lack it on the inside, but we must still work to have it on the outside. So too with wives. You should seek to develop an inward respect for your husband. But even if you cannot in the moment inwardly respect him, you should still outwardly demonstrate that respect, even as the church does to Christ. A third way that the church submits to Christ is that we refrain from doing what he forbids. We refrain from doing what he forbids. Likewise, wives, you should seek to refrain from doing what your husband forbids. You should learn what pleases him and what displeases him. You should learn not to go against his will. Fourthly, the church submits to Christ by doing what he requires. So just as we seek to avoid doing what he forbids, so also we begin working towards doing what he requires, what pleases him. So too, wives, if they are to submit to their husbands in the same way, must seek to do the things that their husbands require. Now, the church exhibits four virtues that accompany their submission to Christ. The first of those is humility. In order to submit ourselves to Christ, we must humble ourselves. Now, to be humble is to have an honest assessment of ourselves and to put others above ourselves. So, wives, if you want to submit to your husbands as the church does to Christ, that means having humility, having an honest assessment of yourself and of your rank relative to your husband. The church must submit in sincerity to Christ. It can't just be outward, right? It must be sincere and from the heart. Have you ever seen a child, like say if a child were standing up on a chair at the dinner table, and you can make him sit physically, but on the inside you can tell he's still standing up? That is not the kind of submission we are to render unto Christ, a begrudging type of submission. It's to be actually a sincere submission. Now, oftentimes that inward sincerity is harder to achieve than that outward demonstration of it. The church submits to Christ with cheerfulness. It is truly, in our best moments, it is our great pleasure to do what is pleasing to Christ. We should find joy in that. And beloved, if we never find joy in doing what pleases Christ, there is something wrong. So too with wives, your submission to your husband should be accompanied by cheerfulness. Not froward looks or crossed arms or huffing and puffing or beatboxing. You know beatboxing, right? Y'all think I haven't been married. No, just as we submit ourselves to Christ with cheerfulness, so too wives ought to submit themselves to their husbands with cheerfulness. There's a fourth and final virtue, perseverance, continuance. Our submission to Christ begins when we first believe, but it has to continue. We don't submit to him once and then just wait, you know, and just gets transported directly to heaven, though wouldn't that be glorious? No, it has to persevere. And we find new and new ways in which we must submit ourselves to Christ. And this is especially the case with wives and husbands. Your submission, wives, must persevere. It must be continual. And oftentimes, you have to submit to a man who also sins. So you must really, see, when we submit ourselves to Christ, we are submitting to a sinless Savior who never does us harm. But in submitting to a husband, you are submitting to a man, a mere human who, like you, sins. And he will need forgiveness and grace. And so your submission must persevere. It is not one time when you say, I do, and then you say, well, I did. No, I still do. The final phrase of verse 24 tells us the extent of a wife's submission. The submission which a wife owes to her husband, the apostle says, is in all things. Not in some things, not a few things, not many things, or not even most things. Beloved, the scripture says all things. The apostle offers no exceptions to this. He does not spell out except. He does not say submit to your husbands when, if and only if. Now, of course, we understand that no human authority is absolute. All human authority is derived from God and depends upon God, and therefore all human authority is limited. Yet it is instructive that the apostle does not in this place tell us, yeah, but, and what about? Why did the apostle not give us these exceptions? Which we certainly agree there must be some exceptions because human authority is not absolute. Well, the apostle, under the inspiration of God, understands this about humanity. We are sinners, and we are liable to seek out excuses. The apostle probably reasons that it is more likely for a woman to find reasons not to submit when she ought than it is for a woman to submit when she ought not. It is the human condition to find excuses not to obey. And so the apostle does not in this place set down the exceptions. There's a second reason, and that is this. A woman who fears the Lord such that she wants to do what he says and submit to her husband. A woman who is wise enough to submit to her husband in all things is also a woman who sufficiently fears the Lord and is wise enough to figure out those exceptions. Nevertheless, let me give you a general rule for finding those exceptions. Not that you may find excuses, because really what the apostle says here is that you must submit to your husband in all things. But the general rule is this. You must submit to your husband unless doing so would constitute your own personal rebellion against Christ. Let me try to illustrate that with a couple of examples, maybe. Suppose that your husband were to tell you you must worship other gods. You cannot obey that command. That would constitute rebellion against Christ. Suppose your husband were to tell you to commit adultery or to commit murder. Obviously, you cannot obey that command. That would constitute your own personal rebellion against your God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that would be an instance of an exception. Let us suppose, on the other hand, that your husband said to you, you can't give any more money to Providence Presbyterian Church. What do you do? Well, here's the thing. If you are a married woman, you find yourself sometimes having to choose between competing duties. The Lord does indeed tell us to give money to our churches, but as a married woman, you don't actually have personal money. Neither does your husband. You have joint money. And if your husband says not to give that money to the church until you can persuade him to change his mind, it's not rebellion to not give him something that you don't, to not give the church something that you don't have a right to. You see, a marriage is one flesh, and marital assets are one, right? There is no my money, your money. There is marital money. And if your husband is unwise enough and miserly enough not to give to the church, by the way, I hope that's not the case. And I hope you understand this, that a husband who gave such a directive without cause, he is in fact sinning against God. And he will answer for that. But the wife can joyfully submit to that, knowing that God said, submit to your own husband, as long as it doesn't constitute your own personal rebellion. I should add also that if your husband in some way tears asunder the marriage union, right? If he violates the marriage contract with you, such as by committing adultery or abandoning you, then he also abandons or abdicates his headship over you. All right, so if a husband commits adultery, but then he says, well, you have to take me back because I'm your husband, your answer is, no, sir, you are not. You have abdicated that headship over me. So a man, when he violates the marriage contract, then he surrenders his right to exercise headship in that relationship. Now, some of you will say at this point, I believe you and I agree with you generally, but you don't know my husband. Mrs. Appleton, please put your hand down. I have a bad husband. What about a bad husband? The apostle here does not say submit to your husband in all things if he's a good husband. I want to read, if you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of them do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So if you have a bad husband, consider the words of the Apostle Peter. Be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Sometimes being married to a bad husband or a bad wife can be quite a trial. And you may think if you had a better husband, you could be more submissive. I do want to ask, though, who picked your husband? Was it an arranged marriage, or did you choose your husband? And perhaps you say, well, I erred in picking my husband. There are no givebacks. You don't get a do-over with that. You have chosen your husband, and perhaps you need to repent of some of your thinking in the choosing of your husband. Perhaps you have not been respecting your husband because you chose a less than ideal husband. Understand, however, he is your husband, and you must submit to him. So, you wives, do you fear the Lord? Then submit yourselves to your own husbands as the church submits to Christ in all things, because the Lord has placed your husband over you as your head, and he has commanded you to submit yourselves to him. Let us pray. Almighty God, that every woman in this room would have a husband who is like Christ, that they would find joy in their submission to him, that, Lord, you would bless the men in this church to be husbands like Christ, that you would help us all, Lord, to submit ourselves to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, do this. Amen.